All right, tonight you'll be glad to know we're going to finish the topic of false teachers as we finish out 2 Peter chapter 2. And then we'll pick up next time on 2 Peter chapter 3. We're only going to cover three verses tonight. These three verses should be... Well, I'm not going to make any promises. I started to say these three verses should be pretty short, but we'll see. Is what it is, right? The title of the message tonight is it real? Is it real? How can you look at people? More specifically, the subject is false teachers. How can you look at teachers and know? Are they real? And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. 2 Peter chapter 2. We're going to begin reading verse 20. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? Verse 20 says, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow, having washed, to her wallowing in the mire." Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we approach your throne of grace once again, dependent upon you for your guidance in this text tonight. Lord, as we look at your word, help us to understand and help us to apply it, that we may be able to identify false teachers so that they not lead us astray. Help us, Lord, to stand against those false teachers. Lord, I pray that your will be done in this service. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. As I said, tonight I want to explore the question, how do you know if the false teachers, or if any teachers for that matter, that you hear, that you listen to, are the real deal or not? Because there are a lot of teachers out there. You have TV evangelists, you have women's conference leaders. In this church, we have several teachers, okay? Teachers that you need to know. Are they the real deal or are they not? If you're a young person, you need to take a look at the people that you listen to, okay? To know, are they the real deal in Jesus Christ, or are they not? There are a lot of church movements out there, especially in the younger crowd, that I'll be honest with you, I just don't put much store in. But I'm going to let you make the call as to who you're listening to, and are they the real deal? Verse 20, the first sign that you can see is found in verse 20. Their life does not match their claim. Verse 20 says, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning." Again, it's obvious to be able to identify these false teachers just for one, based on their lifestyle. Now, this is a tough scripture to understand. If you're not real careful, you say, well, after you read this, and you'll say, huh? But I'm going to give you my translation, okay? And then I'm going to give you what it means. A literal translation in this is, if indeed then they've escaped the corruption of the world by the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and once again become entangled and overcome themselves, the last is worse than the first. Okay, that's a literal translation, but I want to call your attention to the two words the first two words of this, it says, for if. Okay? So our first thought is to take it to the point saying, if they have been saved and if they stray, then the worse is worse, or the end is worse than the beginning. That's not what it's saying. That word, or those two words, for if, could also be translated, if indeed. Saying, if indeed they were saved, having known the truth. Okay? If indeed, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, if they have really escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, then they are again entangled in them and overcome. The latter is worse than the end is worse than the beginning. The idea there is actually very simple. If that's all there is to Jesus Christ, there's not much to Jesus Christ. Okay? There, if they claim that, oh yes, I'm saved and live like the devil, if that's what Jesus has done for them, then the end is indeed worse than the beginning because there is no hope for them. Okay? The idea is with Jesus Christ, and this comes into play with modern theology of, well, you just receive Jesus as your Savior. You've heard that. And even using the phrase, accept Jesus as your Savior. And that kind of scares me sometimes. And I've used those words. But I want you to understand, Christianity is more than a simple acknowledgement of Jesus. Okay? People have made that simple acknowledgement, and it was no surrender of life. It was no commitment of life. Christianity is a lifestyle. It's not a one-time event that, boom, you were saved and you don't worry about it again until you're in heaven. That's not who we are. That's never what it was designed to be. And that's what Peter's saying. These that would claim, I've been saved by Jesus Christ, and you can't see anything in their life as that would point to that, there is a real problem with their profession of faith. So, first of all, if you want to identify is a person real or not, look and see if their life matches the claim of Christianity. Okay? And I know we often hear that, well, we're all just sinners. Oh, no, huh? No, sir. We'll stumble. And I say this quite frequently because we're in the flesh and we stumble. We may say things that we shouldn't say. We may even have actions that sneak up on us every once in a while that shouldn't be there. But the bottom line is this. The Bible says, be ye holy because I am holy. That's direction from God. There is an expectation for the child of God that we're supposed to live who we say we are. And if that is not present in the life of a believer, he's not real. It's not real. There may be an appearance of reformation, but that's all it is an appearance. Verse 21, for it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. They had a knowledge, and you say, Brother Doug, it sounds like they're losing their salvation. No, nowhere in here does it indicate these people are ever, or were they ever, a real believer in Jesus Christ, or committed their life to Jesus Christ. They had knowledge of righteousness. Some of them may have even had an experience, and the world is so bent today on an experience. You notice that? I've talked to people and you know, the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The idea there is committing your life, turning your life over to Jesus Christ, and it becoming a lifestyle. Okay? But I've also talked to people that just believe that they've always been saved just because. Wait a minute. That doesn't match what the Bible says. Right? The Bible talks about if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, or confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. There is a life commitment there. And it's a real life commitment. And when that happens, God becomes a priority. Okay? And like I say, I know we can stumble. There's a difference between stumbling and a sinful lifestyle. I'm talking about that sinful, ungodly lifestyle right now. And but God becomes the priority. Right? And if God's not the priority in a person that you're following, you need to follow a different person. I don't care if he's a TV evangelist or a women's conference leader or if he's this preacher. If you don't see something in my life that says that God is very important to me, you shouldn't follow me. Okay? Because my life is supposed to back up my claim. Jesus said, two great commandments. Number one, love the Lord your God with all your heart. That's important to me. I want to love God. Okay? I want the world to see me loving God. Second great commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. I want to love people. Now, sometimes I fail, but I want God to be the priority so that God knows I love Him and so that that love is shared to other people. And if those two things are not present in my life or in the life of any teacher, you need to back up and take a harder look at that teacher that you're following. Peter describes it this way. It would be better for them to have never known the way than having known it and turned from it. What he's talking about is they've been there. They had some experience. They know how to walk the church walk. They know how to talk the church talk. But they never made a real life commitment. That's why it's so very important to get to know who you're following. You know, we're a very fad-oriented nation. It amazes me sometimes who our heroes are. It seems like we pick the grungiest, the sinfulest, sometimes even the sorriest no-goods of our society to make our heroes. I want to challenge you tonight, especially our young people. There are people you will look up to. Do not let the world dictate to you who you want to be like, who you want to follow. Because most of the Hollywood scene, most of the modern artist scene are not worth following. They're not worth your time. And I told you last week, you know, we think of a false teacher as somebody who stands up in front of a Sunday school class or a preacher who would fill the pulpit. But I'll tell you, a false teacher is anybody you'll follow who's not right with God. Do not just follow because the crowd's following. All right? Then finally, here's how you really know. Verse 22. And I thought about this verse and I said, I thought, how can I present this verse with class? This is a hard verse to present with class. Or to be nice about. And what I'm talking about, verse 22, here's what you'll always see with the fakes. But it's happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow or a pig, having washed to her wallowing in the mire. Now we'll mainly focus on the pig, okay? You know what it means about a dog. You've watched a dog. You know what it means about a pig. You can wash the inside. I'm sorry, you can wash the outside. But if a change never takes place on the inside, he will still be a pig and he will still be a dog. The only way you can change him is to change the inside. There are a lot of people in the world today who are all about reform. They're all about, well, you know, I used to, and I'm quitting, and I'm doing better now, and all that. But listen to me. If you don't change the inside, you'll be like the dog and the pig, because that's who you are. Paul said this: if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. When Jesus moves in, things change. And I tell you, have you ever done that? I'm going to do better. And what always happens? We fail. Every time. Oh, it may work for a week. It may work for 2 weeks. But along the way, it's going to fail. Why? Because it has to be Jesus motivated and Jesus enabled. When you come to Christ, you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things passed away. You're not a pig anymore. God has made you a new creation. There are some things that you don't want to do. You say, Brother Doug, I don't know how not to do these things. There's only one way, and that's by the grace of God. There are things that the only way that you can be successfully reformed is to be transformed. Okay? Reborn. Without rebirth, without repentance, there'll be no reformation. That's the point to to this entire chapter dealing with false teachers. The problem is, there was never a transformation in the lives of these people. And they were taking people, even believers, with them down a road of sinfulness. And isn't that what we do today? We look at people and say, well, they're church members, and if they do it, shouldn't I be able to do it? Well, sure. No. We need to learn to be able to identify the pigs and the dogs, because there are a lot of them in churches today where it's not real. It's very important. And I know I've been on this subject for the last month and a half of false teachers. And after tonight, we get off, right? But I want our young people to know, you be careful who you follow. Moms and dads, you be careful who your children follow, who your children admire. Because if it's wrong, if they're following the wrong person, they're going to grow up to be the wrong person. We have a responsibility. And we think of it, you know, we think of doctrinal purity in the church, and we believe there are foundational doctrines that we don't give on, and that's very true. Okay? Salvation by grace through faith, you'll never convince me of anything else, period, end of conversation, you know? Can't lose your salvation. You'll never convince me that I can lose my salvation. Why? Because when Jesus saves you, you're sealed with the Spirit, and nobody can take them from my Father's hand. You know, we stand on those doctrines, but we kind of get loose on the people that we really follow in life. We don't think about all these Hollywood stars that just seem to have it all together, and you watch the news and the headlines, and all of them, almost all, and I say this with regret, almost all are dogs and pigs that have never been changed. Let's don't idolize those people. There are people, there are good people left in this life that we can look at and say, I want to be like them. You know, there are some people in this church that I say, for myself, I said, you know, I want to be like them. I want to have that attitude. I want to have that godliness. There are plenty of heroes to look around and see today. You be careful who you choose, no matter what age you are. You may be here tonight and you've never been changed, like I was talking about. You know, you're still one of the hogs or dogs. Been trying to play the game, but transformation on the inside's never happened. Listen, it starts with repentance. It starts with repentance. That means a change of direction where you forsake your sin, you forsake your old immoral, ungodly life, and you turn to Jesus, the one who can forgive you of your sins. Have you done that? You know what the wonderful good news is? It doesn't matter what you've done. Jesus can bring forgiveness. It doesn't matter what you are on the inside. The blood of Jesus can cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But don't think it's going to happen by a simple acknowledgement. It is a life commitment. If you've never committed your life to Jesus Christ, will you do that tonight? As we have this verse of invitation. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord. We thank You for the privilege of looking into Your Word and for knowing how to identify false teachers. For Lord, there are many in the world today. I pray that You would make us wise as serpents and harmless as doves. That before we decide to follow somebody, that we'll take a good look. And that, Lord, help us as Your children to love You with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. And to love our neighbors as ourselves. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.